Let's make rock and roll. First, we need a drummer to give us the beat. Now we need an electric bass guitar to boom out the low notes.
Here you go, yeah.
Then we need a regular electric guitar playing some simple chords. Now we need somebody to sing the word.
We gonna loogie doogie sapphire.
And some adults to say, what's that noise? They call that music?
I'm getting a terrible headache.
Now we've got rock and roll.
Hey, mama. You seen him, you dug him. Now here he is with the beat that's sweet and the jive that's alive. Your very own muchacho.
Third Time's the Charm every Tuesday morning, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Well, 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 you've landed in Juicebox Radio.
Should we hear that on the air? We'll find out in the podcast.
I don't know. We'll find out very, very soon. On 101.9 FM, it's Juicebox Radio with Julia Saunders and Caroline McGillivray. So welcome to your Wednesday night mayhem and enjoying about sexuality. Talking about that. And
let's create a new intro. Why not? We'll just make something new and exciting.
Caroline, it's all very new and exciting.
If you ever miss a show, you can download our podcast. Did we say that already?
Okay. No, yeah.
Well, one thing I love about Juicebox is it's always entertaining and educational. And tonight, The show is about transgender divas in San Francisco. So that would be male to female transsexuals that hang out and are regulars and or performers in what's known as Divas nightclub in San Francisco, which is one of the probably the best known locations for transsexuals
in San Francisco.
Yeah. What's that? What are you trying to write to me there, honey? I can't read it. So in October, I guess it was published by
David Steinberg.
Thank you. What do you say? I can't read and talk and think and...
That's all right. It's a secret that our listeners will find out later on.
Okay. Well, we have an in-depth interview with the photographer and artist, David Steinberg, calling in from San Francisco. And actually, he called in early. He's on the air. He's already waiting. So I was going to just speak really quickly to people who don't know what transgendered is. And if you have any calls tonight, please do call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So the precise definition for transgender actually remains in flux because a lot of people who identify as trans or work with trans or are in the medical community, a queer community, etc., everyone sort of has different ideas of it, you know, because transgender is just as complex as other gender, male, female identified gender. So basically, I'm just going to tell you, it's sort of in flux, but it includes designating a person whose identity does not conform unambiguously to conventional notions of male or female gender, but combines or moves between these. Or it's known as people who are assigned a gender, usually at birth, and based on their genitals, so like they're outside sex organs, but who feel that this is a false or incomplete description of themselves. And so they end up becoming they blend that, or they gender bend, or they start early on in life cross-dressing or not feeling like they kind of belong in the body that they've been assigned at birth or given at birth. And then also sort of a non-identification with the gender that was assigned to them at birth. So transgendered people generally is a term applied to a variety of individuals or behaviors or groups that involve tendencies that diverge from what's known as the normative gender role of male or female. It's a complex subject, and I'm sure that we'll speak a little bit about that tonight over the show with David Steinberg. And also, I just wanted to say that a lot of people on the gender continuum, transgender people, they are sometimes referred to as other, which is really derogatory, and we don't want to use that. Some of them call themselves intergender or third gender or bigender. So there's a lot of things that are kind of changing, but what transgender people are not necessarily cross-dressers, transvestites, drag kings or queens, or androgynous people. They kind of have a different kind of way of speaking about themselves in a different grouping, different organizational category, or however you want to say it. But we're going to be speaking to this more over the hour, and we're very fortunate to have David Steinberg calling in, and we're going to discuss his book in full detail tonight, so I'm really excited about it.
Which is going to be really exciting, mm-hmm. Which mainly focuses on male to female trans.
Yes, and we will, you know, do a show again on female to males. I do know some here in Vancouver that we can have a show on about. So if you're feeling left out there, trans men, we will get to you for sure. All right. So for now, let's. Can you do the thing? Thank you, honey.
Sorry, darling. Sometimes
David,
I'm
can you hear us?
Challenged.
You're welcome to Juicebox. Hello.
Hey. Hello. Right.
Okay, great. You can hear us. Awesome. Can we hear you? Is the question. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling in. I know that you're busy at... Where are you anyway? You're down in San Diego today?
I'm in Santa Cruz right now. I'm going down to San Diego tomorrow.
Cool. And what's going on down there?
Well, there's a conference. The Society for the Scientific Study of Sexuality is having their Western Regional Conference. So.
Cool. And what are you going down for? Anything specific, or just to check it out and network? And what's are you going down there for any specific reason? Are you doing a talk or?
I'm not presenting there this year, but I think people will be interested in the book, so I'm going down to promote that.
Great, great. Bring a ton of them. So let's talk about the book.
Uh huh.
It depicts, I think it's very interesting what you've chosen to do with these photographs. A lot of them are untouched. They don't look like they've been digitally changed at all. And they're images of these women in quite natural kind of positions or just sort of being themselves is how I kind of really see it. Why did you choose to take these pictures? Usually they're kind of more glammed up for a photograph book. It's usually like people a little bit more glammed, a little made up, and a little bit more kind of polished, and then they're digitally overdone and everything. But these look like, you know, beautifully represented, but in quite a creative way. What can you tell us a little bit about the pictures themselves?
Yeah, sure. What I wanted to do with the pictures in this book was to show the women that I knew from Vivas accurately. And to me, the secret of doing interesting portraits are, you know, the difference between a portrait that's, I think, really a moving picture and a portrait that's just a snapshot, right, is whether you really have a sense of the person that you're taking a picture of.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And my notion of how to do that is basically to have a trusting relationship with the person that I'm photographing, and then to direct them as little as possible. I also do couples photography, so of couples being sexual with each other.
Right. You have a website, right? It's davidsteinberg.us. For our online listeners or podcast listeners, they can just check davidsteinberg.us out right now and look at what other pictures that that you do, David, on of what you're speaking about. So for people,
yeah, a lot of the couples photography is up there, and a little bit of the transsexual photography. But it's the same thing. It's like, what I want is for people to not be performing. I want people to be themselves. So
that's awesome.
Particularly with the women at Divas, who are, you know, often very conscious about how they look and how they're presenting to the world. Sometimes I would, if I was doing a photo shoot with somebody at their house, I prefer to work with people where they live, because that's where people feel most comfortable.
Comfortable,
and
yeah.
People would say, well, what do you want me to do? And I would say, whatever you want, or what do you want me to wear, and whatever you want, you know. Mm. And then I would leave it up to people to decide what of themselves they wanted to present to the camera, and then how much they wanted to be posy, how much they just wanted to be relaxed,
cool.
You know. And then I would take pictures from there. So sometimes that makes people uncomfortable, but I'm convinced that that what people come up with in their own idea of how they want to be in front of the camera will end up being more interesting than anything that I could have told them to do. And I know that talking with other photographers, that many photographers don't work that way. They come in with an idea of what they're looking for, and then they kind of say, well, do this or do that or sit like this. And, you know, I might say, people say, well, what do you want me to do? And I'll say, well, sit on the couch or something like that. But I won't go beyond that. And if it means that people are a little uncertain at the beginning, then it's okay. And I just tell them, you know, it's okay. You don't have to do anything. You can just sit there.
And they'll relax over time as well. So your book, Divas of San Francisco, Portraits of Transsexual Women, are all these women that are at this particular nightclub. That's how you met them all?
Right. Divas of San Francisco is the main transsexual, transgender club in San Francisco. In fact, I think it's the main club in the United States, of all, at least as far as anything that I've heard of. It's a 24/7 club that centers on transsexual people.
Is there mainly M to F then, male to female?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are trans men who hang out there the same as, you know, there are, I mean, mostly it's guys who hang out, plus the transsexual people who are comfortable there. There are also, you know, all sorts of other people who come through. But in terms of the community of people that it really serves as a base.
What made you decide to go there originally?
Well, originally it was another club that predated that one, but the one about 20 years ago, I was walking down the street, there were these two very attractive women. It's like late at night in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, which is kind of the funky district, but it's also where a lot of transsexual people, or this particular group of transsexual people. I mean, this is really not a representative group of transsexual women in general, but the people live there. And anyway, these two women were walking down the street. I was following them. I had no notion that they were transsexual. I just noticed that they were attractive. And all of a sudden, they turned and walked into this place that didn't look like anything at all. And I thought to myself, huh, And I turned around and I walked in and discovered this whole world that was a club called the Black Rose at that time. And I just got fascinated. I mean, I was sexually turned on by the people there. I was curious and interested. Like, it was like walking into another culture.
Was that your first experience with transgender?
That was, yeah. Okay. Like I said, this was about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of experiences with people there, and then I didn't do anything about that for a long time. And then much later on, I read about the Motherlode, which was what Divas was called before it was called Divas. And I started hanging out there and getting to know the women who were there, who turned out to be, for me, and just an amazing group of women who, you know, were being who they were in reality, even though being true to that meant that they were suffering, negative consequences that were pretty powerful, ranging from rejection by their families, losing their jobs, ranging to, you know, sometimes extreme physical violence, because the violence against transsexual people is still
it's huge.
There's a lot of stigma, definitely.
Still happening like crazy.
Yeah.
It seems that when we go contrary to what people understand as a gender normative, it just screws with people's heads so much that I think people don't know how to deal with it. They get angry, they get scared, they just don't know how to cope, and so it's just such a foreign world. And so I think that, you know, instead of being emotionally intelligent and evolved about it, people just have this, you know, initial knee-jerk reaction that is normally, you know, probably violent and or repulsive, or, you know, they have some kind of negative response that translates into violence, and it's really unfortunate. It's still happening.
It's very unfortunate, but I also think it's just the way humans are, where we lapse into flight or fight syndrome whenever anything scares us, and whenever anything's different. Like, I think way back when, you know, the first person brought fire back to the cave, I'm sure that they were ostracized way back then. Mm-hmm. You know, or the first person who said that the world was flat, you know, or round before Galileo. Was probably, you know, just people aren't comfortable with anything that's a little bit different.
New ideas.
And I think notions about sex and gender are pretty powerful to people. You know, there's a show of photos from Divas, from the Divas book right now at Benham Gallery in Seattle. And 2 weeks ago, somebody threw a utility cover through the plate glass window of the gallery because apparently some of the photos, you know, were that much upsetting to people. And as Marita Holdaway, the curator of the gallery, said to the press afterwards, she said, you know, it's horrible to be attacked in that way, but all I had to do was replace an $800 plate glass window. The women in these photographs have to deal with this kind of violence against their person, you know, all the time, or the threat of that violence all the time.
Are you talking?
And it's true that as I've gotten to know people, the stories that I hear are just overwhelming in what, you know, one person after another has been through.
Right. Are you talking about Marita Holliday, the gallery owner, where you were showing your work of the Divas of San Francisco, the pictures of the transsexual women? Are you talking about that event at Benham Gallery in Seattle? Is that what you're talking about, the pane glass window that was smashed? She'd written, this is in the news for our listeners that aren't familiar with the story. This was just on Easter Sunday. There's an art showing of different transgendered women, and I think other things as well. You can explain that, David. But on the note that has the broken glass and the plastic covering it, she states that we believe our window was smashed by a person who is challenged by the content of this exhibition. The subject of these artworks have experienced enough of this kind of cowardliness and violence. We are happy to discuss our curatorial decisions with anyone who wishes to talk with us instead of experiencing this kind of behavior. And the article said censorship is alive, violent, and expensive in Seattle. So do you think this paints a picture of America's view of transgendered women then?
Well, I'm not a transgendered person myself. So yeah, and it's kind of funny to be in the position of speaking for them, but, you know,
you had some experience, though, with them, and I think you've gotten to know some of them. So.
Sure. But, you know, being transgendered means constantly being aware that you're subject to attack. And for most people, I mean, I've heard stories of, you know, just horrible violence. One of the women that I photographed was raped by the entire football team at her high school, you know. And when she went to the principal wouldn't do anything about it because it was the football team and he just didn't care, you know. One woman told me a story about being waylaid by three guys with a baseball bat and took her off to the middle of nowhere and were all set to kill her, except that she somehow found a way to get the baseball bat away from them and get them out of that situation. I mean, I just heard, and then I would tell that story to somebody else that I would meet from the club, and she would say, oh, yeah, you know, that happened to me, too. We all have stories like that. So, you know, that's the reality that people carry around every day. And, and you know, and I think in some sense, transsexual people are even more subject to that kind of violence than gay people or lesbians or other, you know, groups of people that are marginalized and hated and feared. I think that transsexual people are in the most dangerous position of anybody these days.
They're very dangerous. I do a lot of work when I'm not doing the show in the downtown east side. I run a charity actually called Beauty Night where we do makeovers for women who deal with violence to reintroduce touch. And we see a lot of transgendered clients down there, some that are sex workers, some that are not. And it's interesting just that sometimes they are stigmatized by the biological women as well, where it's kind of sad where they don't fit necessarily in with the gay community here all the time in certain areas, but they also don't fit in with the biologicals. Do you find that in the States as well? Or at least from your, at least at Divas?
Yeah, no, definitely. Not only that, but the group of transsexual women that you're talking with often have their own problems with other transsexual women, you know, in particular, who
where it's like
are
at least
tired of all
a sex worker.
Of all the, yeah, the media representation of trans women is that they're all sort of hyper-feminine sex workers, you know, and the truth is that most transsexual people are not that way at all. They're people who would just as soon fade into the woodwork and be, you know, women like everybody else that nobody would ever notice. So I was certainly aware that publishing a collection of portraits of this particular group of women, some of whom are sex workers, many of whom really are into glamour and being very feminine, you know, is tricky because I'm certainly not interested in reinforcing those stereotypes.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, what I've noticed is that there's some brilliant photography being done of transsexual people these days. Dana Marcus, who's a friend in Santa Cruz, has done some wonderful black and white portraits of both transsexual women and transsexual men. But the people that tend to be photographed by other photographers that I know about, at least, tend to be white middle class people whose lives, aside from being transsexual, are pretty mainstream
normal
and pretty respectable in terms of what, you know, mainstream society considers respectable. This group of women that I have gotten to know, the photographers that are doing this fine art photography haven't found them. The people who have found them are the people who create transsexual porn. So you get a lot of porn imagery of this group of women, but of course that's got its own distortions. These are not photographs that are designed to show who these women are. They're photographs designed to provide fantasy material for people who want to masturbate or whatever. So what I wanted to do was to kind of fill in the gap, as it turns out. And I thought it was important. It's important that this group of women be acknowledged, because as much as other women, trans women, don't want to be stereotyped as being like many of the women from Divas, it's also, there's a lot of class issues and racial issues, because most of the women at Divas do not come from middle-class backgrounds. Most of them are not white.
I've noticed that. A lot of
transition really early in life. it's an entirely different group of people. So not only are they alienated from genetic women and to some extent from gay and lesbian culture, but often they're alienated from other parts of the transsexual community as well.
And they, and by their color as well. I think, as you were saying, it's like a lot of them are not the white middle class or upper class kind of people of the world, and just from that, I mean, anybody of color can speak to the oppression that is undergone just from the color differences or whatever. So there's double oppression going on, or maybe triple even in this case, with the transsexuals of the Divas of San Francisco book that you've depicted. So that's another reason that you're impassioned to photograph and represent these women, is because of that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, these women are models of courage, you know, mm-hmm. in many ways. And for some reason, the whole identity issue around being transsexual in that way feels very close to home for me, even though my own issues are not really about gender in that way.
Mm-hmm. But I was just going to ask, have you ever thought of going trans?
No, I mean, probably everybody's had a fantasy about, what would it be like to be a woman? What would it be like to be a man?
Okay.
But no, I've not in any serious kind of way. But I do know what it is. I think we all know what it is to be stigmatized and dismissed and maybe even attacked for who we are in one way or another, you know, specifically around how we practice our sexuality, or you know, it could be about anything. And so, in some sense, I think what the women, the reason that their stories are so powerful to me, and I feel so drawn to them, is that they really represent the ultimate case of saying, "Look, this is who I am. I'm going to be who I am. I know I'm going to pay a heavy price for it, but I believe that it's more important to be true to myself, play it safe, and do what the people around me expect me to be and pretend to be who they would like me to be because it makes them more comfortable, because, you know, whatever that might be." And I've seen that so many times, not only around it, but, you know, even in specific cases. There's one woman that I photographed, and on her breast she has scars from where she had cut herself, because she had gone through a stage in her life when she was cutting herself.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that, actually.
And I said, how do you feel about me showing the scars in these photos? Do you want that out there?
And she was okay.
And she said, well, that's who I am. So, yeah, I am okay with that.
I think it's awesome, you know, you're giving them an opportunity to be who they are and showing that in the book. I think we're going to talk about that a bit later. We're just going to take a quick break. You're listening to Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, so keep that dial locked, and we welcome your calls during this time. And David, please stay on the line and give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we are going to be right back.
Let's go. Madison.
Brad, please, let's get out of here.
For God's sake, keep a grip on yourself, Janet.
But it seems unhealthy here.
It's just a party, Janet.
Well, I want to go.
Well, we can't go anywhere till I get to a phone.
Well, then ask a butler or someone.
Just a moment, Janet. We don't want to interfere with their celebrations.
This isn't the Junior Chamber of Commerce, Brad.
They're probably foreigners with ways different than our own. They may do some more folk dancing.
Look, I'm cold, I'm wet, and I'm just plain scared.
I'm here. There's nothing to worry about.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful hand in hand. He's just a little broad dying because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look black, you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat. Well, how about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night? And maybe a bite. I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan. He's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the ray is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
Want to see your film up on the big screen?
The Vancouver Student Film Festival is back to showcase the best of BC's post-secondary student and alumni film and video makers on May 24th.
The Film Festival is looking for entries of all genres, from student or graduate filmmakers within the last 3 years. Films received by March 1st are only $10 and $20 until April 19th.
Only 2 weeks left before the early entry deadline. For entry rules and to submit online, please visit www.vsff.com.
Let the cartoons begin!
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back. You're listening to Juice Box Radio on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. and this is a show on the transsexual women of Divas of San Francisco. Very, very, quite a famous nightclub in San Francisco. It's open 24/7 in the U.S. there. And we have a photographer, David Steinberg, who's put together a lovely book on the transsexuals of Divas Nightclub. And we have him on the air. We're going to continue our conversation with him about transsexuals, about the Divas of San Francisco, after we do Dewsbury's, right, sweetheart? Are we doing some Dewsbury's? You've got some exciting things for us.
We've got some fantastic things going on, starting with the history of burlesque and stripping in Vancouver, and you cannot miss this absolutely amazing lecture by Becky Ross, which is UBC's own. You're saying that you've actually had her as a teacher before.
I've had her as a professor. She's incredible. We did sociology of sexualities with her. I got my worst mark of my master's from her. She's a tough professor, but she's a really good, and it was an incredible course. And she's an expert on the history of burlesque, and so I'm happy to hear that she's going to be doing a talk on that.
It's going to be pretty exciting. Uh-huh. Diamond Minx is bringing her to town. Well, I guess
she's
to the
town.
Chicken coop. Ow!
She's
or should I be cooing from the screaming chickens? And that's going to be Wednesday, April 30th. And that is going to be at the Chicken Coop, which if you don't know where that is, it's Suite 204, 2280 East Hastings Street. Other things that are going on this week are Vancouver Fashion Week, and it is extreme, all the different cool fashions all around town.
And we're talking about this because?
Because Beauty Night has a booth there, which deals with sex workers, and you can get your hair and makeup done there while you're checking out all the scenes.
Awesome.
And it's done by donations, so then that way the proceeds actually go to help survival sex workers and other people in downtown Eastside, especially since we're talking about oppressed and marginalized people. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very, very wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. As well as that, the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival is coming up very soon. This year it is done like the Fringe Festival, so there is a variety different ones. Yeah, there's so many different types of things, so you can check out their website.
Amazing.
As well as that, on May 1st.
That goes on for almost 2 weeks, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. And May 1st there's a wonderful from Luscious Dance and Jenny Magenta, which is one of our favorites. She performed at your salon, did she not?
Yes, she did.
And she is...
she wasn't known as Jenny Magenta there at my salon.
No, we won't mention what she's known as for that, because in case she likes it private.
Yes.
But she was a very wonderful, wonderful flamenco dancer there. Mm-hmm. But they will be doing a show with, including Brunette Blonde, Malenka Millions. It's going to be quite lovely, actually, in terms
looking forward
of
to this Brunette Blonde. There's this famous Brunette Blonde show troupe that's supposed to be doing some kind of...
It's supposed to be pretty incredible, actually. I've heard a lot of really great things in terms of that.
I'm looking forward to seeing a production by this famous, infamous Black Brunette Blonde troupe that's getting more and more well known.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing. I've heard it's got a little bit of pole dancing in there as well as some burlesque, which should be an interesting fusion because I haven't seen that much of it.
Fabulous.
It's quite lovely.
Cool. And there's actually a bunch more Dewsbury's, but I think let's get back to the interview.
Ones.
Those are the big ones. And if you do have any that you'd like to have us announce on your show, and we think you're cool enough, you can get some of the airtime at CITR here and have us announce at your very special event, whatever it might be, as long as it has to do something to do with sexuality, would be helpful. Okay.
Considering that's what our show is all about. And on that note, we should get back to our guest.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the lovely David Steinberg, who's calling in from San Diego?
Santa Cruz, I think
Santa
he said
Cruz.
Tonight.
Okay.
So David, thanks for coming back.
Sure.
Hi. Thanks for hanging in. So I'm wondering if you've been, I mean, you mentioned in the beginning of the book something about being emotionally involved with some of these women. So,
and for those of you guys, listeners who are just tuning in, we're talking to David Steinberg, who's written Divas of San Francisco. And it's got some absolutely fascinating photography of transgendered women. So just in case you're joining us at this time. Mm-hmm. And also in what we played during the break was Blur's Girls Who Like Boys and Rocky Horror Picture, one of my favorite musicals, Sweet Transvestite.
Yes, well, we thought that was kind of a cute song.
A song?
Thank you. I'm really not with it tonight. So, okay, David, so have you been involved then with some transgender women?
Well, I've certainly gotten to know many of the women at Divas. I dated one of the women that I met there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people that I've been involved with as sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 59 women in the book Divas of San Francisco.
And you haven't been with all of them?
I would say that two-thirds of the women there I know well enough to have heard significant stories about their lives and gotten to know them pretty well. That about a third of the women I photographed that, you know, came and went through the club pretty quickly.
Right. Okay.
But most of the women I know as friends. You know, I've been a regular at the club for 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Over time, you get to know people.
Right. Why the fascination with these divas? Why male to female transsexuals? Why the fascination with this enough to be involved in a very expensive project of putting a book together of their photographs? What's motivating you?
Yeah, you know, it's complicated. It started with sexually attracted to a bunch of the women that I had met at the various transsexual clubs that have been in San Francisco over the years. But then as I was hanging out at the clubs more, I just got, you know, beyond the sexual interest. I just became interested in who they were, and as I was saying a little bit earlier on, as sort of icons of what it means to be true to yourself when who you are is
so
radically at odds.
Have any of these women inspired?
Let him finish his thoughts.
Sorry.
Being true to who you are. Sorry, David. What were you saying?
Sorry about
being
that.
True to who you are, in spite of what?
In spite of when who you are is going to be offensive or problematic or frightening to the people around you. So, I just saw more and more people who had amazing personal histories and stories and courage and strength, mm-hmm. and all of that was tremendously interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, what I'm aware of in terms of my own sexuality, I guess, is that I'm very much attracted to femininity, and a lot of the people at Divas are very much celebratory of femininity in a way that's sometimes hard to come by these days. I mean, even I was very active in the women's movement for a long time, but a lot of the women's movement, you know, was in many ways the rejecting of femininity also. So it was exciting to me to be with a group of women who
weren't burning their bras.
Can we speak quickly before we get into this? What is your idea then of this of femininity? I mean, I see a lot of these divas as sort of hyper feminine. So, what is it that you feel that women are kind of losing a sense of in this femininity that you're talking about?
Can you I think our culture values characteristics that are identified as male over those that are characterized as female.
Mm-hmm.
So power is good, but grace is maybe not so important. Being able to assert yourself and get your way is good, but being able to be responsive and caring about other people is not so important. And, you know, so that a lot of the values that women have traditionally held in culture are made second in a culture that's as male oriented. as ours is. So it's been, you know, of course, the women's movement has been very important in terms of achieving equal power or more equal power for women. But part of it is, you know, is achieving power by becoming more like men have always been. I mean, Hillary Clinton is like classic in that regard.
Interesting.
And personally, you know, as important as I think male issues, power, and all of that is, I think that a lot gets lost. Nurturing is important. Being responsive is important.
So grace and responsiveness are some words that you've used. Is this how you would describe these trans women then? The women
yeah.
that you photographed? Okay.
In
they have
cases,
a lot of grace.
Yeah. Well, they you know, it's hard to generalize, but I certainly see among in a lot of people this amazing combination of sort of celebration of femininity and at the same time this toughness and grittiness in the face of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So, and there's something about them. Just the notion of taking traditional notions of gender, you know, men are over here, women are over there, they're opposite, and you're kind of one or the other, and throwing that on its head and saying, no, you know what, it really isn't like that. It's much more complicated than that. And mixing up being male and female, mixing up, you know, being classically, you know, almost stereotypically beautiful in some ways and having a penis, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's I like it because it just kind of you take some notion that you know you thought you knew what which way was up and which way was down, and then life comes along and kind of tosses you upside down, and
mm-hmm.
some people get scared to death by that.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I'm always intrigued by that. So
I've found it fascinating myself. I mean, my whole entire undergrad and what got me into my master's was all around transgenderism and the fact that it actually, the intersection of transgender, of trans and gender and sexuality and how different they really are. And no more clearly can you see the intersection of sexuality and gender than with trans people, because the two are not equal at all. A lot of people assume that trans people are not or are homosexual or however you might want to mix that up. And sexuality and gender are totally different things. And so it's something that I've found personally fascinating myself, as that intersection is really so complex with trans people. You know, even some of the female to male transsexuals that I know in Vancouver, you know, fully transitioned, fully passed, had all the kinds of surgeries, all the different stages of trans formation, pretty much, and you know, passing completely as the other gender, and then their sexuality began to change. So you know, they were always you know, a lesbian woman who was always interested in women. They transitioned to a male, was still interested in women, and then after fully passing for a number of years, started to realize that their sexuality had also changed in the suit of this particular other gender that they had fully embraced and been accepted as in society. So it's fascinating, and you know, for me, I hear what you're talking about, and I you know, I would like to do a book on trans men, actually, because I think it's a wholly other world, just as much as women and men are so different in a lot of ways. Trans men and trans women have, like, as you're saying, quite a complex combination of the different, you know, rules, roles, responsibilities, behaviors, thoughts, and then sexual appetites, as is different between just your normative male, female, and their sexual appetites, and how they are fluid and change and the complexity over time and over their lives. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I've done as a writer. I mean, I've been to a number of conferences of trans men, and it's a very different group of people, but also just stunning people. It's an amazing group, and I think that, you know, young people are now growing up with the notion that gender is mutable, that you get to make decisions about what your gender is going to be. I think, you know, everybody now, 15, 18, 20 years old, gets to think about who do I want to be, rather than this is the way my body is, so this is
this is just the way it has to be. And it's like, well, no, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I think that's a really a fabulous way to see that. And one of the key messages I think that you're giving through your art you spoke about in the early part of the show, and I was hoping that you would reiterate that and speak a little bit more to that. And I think that's, one of the key messages that you're probably trying to give, maybe you inadvertently, is that people can question their gender. They can, you know, demonstrate other aspects that aren't necessarily associated with that normative, you know, ways of being.
Right. Can you speak to that? That's the question. How do you know what your gender is? If it's not the shape of your genitals, if that's not it, then how do you know? How do I know that I'm a man? Do I think of myself as a man because it never, you know, because everybody told me I was a man and because I had a penis and it never occurred to me to think of it otherwise? Mm-hmm. Or am I a man because I am really a man?
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, how many people have even asked themselves that question at any point? Well, you know, and that obviously transsexual people have to ask themselves that question because they look at their bodies and they feel what they feel about who they are and they don't match up. And suddenly you say, wait a second, something's wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
But for people where that's not so extreme, it's like, you know, how do you know that you're a woman? Are you a woman because you were brainwashed into thinking that you were a woman when you were a young girl? Or are you a woman because you're really a woman? And how do you even know the difference between those two? Those are the kinds of questions that run around in my head, and I think that they're fascinating. I think that more and more people are asking themselves those questions, and I would imagine trying on different possibilities to see what feels best for them, what will make me the happiest, what will make me feel the most fulfilled, the most true to who I really am.
True to who I really am, exactly. How do you think things can improve then for trans people? I mean, in this day and age, it's becoming where thankfully at least there's more and more of them showing themselves and standing up and saying, because of the advocacy of what you do and other people that fight for freedoms of gender expression, etc. You know, there's more and more people that are sort of standing up and saying, I don't feel like I belong in this body that people say I'm supposed to be in, this gender pool of people, and I'm going to change to what I feel more natural in, or however they might go into different stages of transition. And I think it's becoming, you know, a little bit more out there. Thankfully, you're doing stuff like this that's happening. How do you think things are going to can improve?
Well, I think, I mean, it's sort of a contradiction, two things at the same time. On one hand, I think that attitudes about gender and transgender are changing remarkably quickly.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, the people who are transitioning now, the people who are growing up, you know, whether they're 6 years old or they're 15-year-old and are questioning who they are in a completely different situation than people who did that 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, transsexual people are still being violated, murdered, hated, losing their jobs, losing their families, all over the place. So, you know, it's a mix. But I really do think that the notion of gender and what gender is and how to look at gender is in a rapid flux of change, and transsexual people will continue to fight and demand equal rights with everybody else. And of course, you know, anybody who thinks about this in a humane way will support that. And I think that will be changing. I think that it's one of the most profound change. In the same way, when gay liberation, you know, was first making headway in mainstream culture, and at first it was a very radical notion that anybody was gay or lesbian. Well, after a while, people kind of got used to that, and people started popping up all over the place and
speaking
coming out and making themselves visible. And as that happens with more and more transsexual people, people will just get to know people who are transsexual, and I think, in you know, increasingly we'll say, okay, this is the way it is, you know. And I've heard horror stories, and I've heard heartwarming stories of families and friends and people and kids and parents and all of that. dealing with somebody going through transition. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see more and more of that as time goes on.
Right. And, you know, and I think, you know, this is like a lot of things. The more that we're exposed to or have an experience of people with just whatever it might be, and it doesn't matter if it's a disability or a kind of culture or a religion that, you know, it's something you've never seen before, or but then you connect with them on a human to human level, and you start to realize that, oh, they're humans, and I love humans, you know, I'm a human too, kind of thing. And I think that's the beautiful part of you know, what the internet provides, for example, and just that there's somebody there that you can connect with on, doesn't matter what it is that you are or how you are or your passions or your interests or your ways of being, whatever they might be, there's someone out there that has the same interest or looks the same or something like that, you know, and you can connect with them, and just that exposure like you're speaking about can really help to bridge the gap that exists between, you know, what we spoke to in the beginning of the show around the fears that so many people feel about gender bending of any kind and just sort of going outside of the norm, you know, and how that just elicits fear in some people and fascination in others. And the more that we get experience of that, the more normal it becomes. And so then you can relax, you know, and just get to know the person and not see all the other layers that you might be judging. So it is a good work you're doing, David. Do you have any other final questions, Caroline, for David Steinberg?
I just wanted to make a comment, just that according to Amnesty International, one out of every three women has either been beaten, raped, or murdered. It's actually pretty sad worldwide, according to Amnesty International. And it's just pulling up some stats in terms of transgendered death stats from 1970 to 2002, because I couldn't get anything more recent than that. But for that, it had recorded 242 deaths, and from 1990 to 94, 86 of them were because they were shot, 54 were stabbed, 40 were beaten, 35 were murdered, 18 were strangled, and 7 were drowned.
And I'd say if there's only 300 trans women, that's a pretty low number. That's a low number.
Do you think it's low?
Uh-huh. That just must be in America.
I could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably even low for America. Yeah, well, it's horrible. And we did talk about that in the first half of the show. So, but again, David, I think that you're doing good stuff here. And have you had a lot of negative outpouring from what you've done with the book or the art gallery showing? How has it been going for you that way?
On a personal level.
Personal level, yeah.
No, the response has been amazing. And people really do appreciate the photos. And I'm gratified that they can see past the glamour and the makeup to seeing the complexity of the women that are in the pictures. That's what I wanted to show. And when I started having shows, what motivated me to actually do a book was that I saw that people did see what was really there. They didn't just say, oh, my God, she's beautiful or something like that, or, oh, my God, I can't believe they're all boys or something like that. People said, what people said was, I'm amazed that that these women trusted you enough to allow you to take such revealing photos of them. And that warmed my heart, because that to me is exactly the point. You know, people that what I see when I'm photographing the women at Divas is people who very much want to be seen and seen honestly. And once people know me as a person who will do that, and my camera as a way to record that, then they really, really, really want to be seen. And so I've been, you know, I think if you just walked in off the street and poked your camera at somebody, they would give you the persona that they show to the world in general. But if you're with somebody that you can trust, then you reveal yourself more. And that's what I think makes these photos worthwhile.
It's amazing. Yeah, the work you're doing is amazing. And thank you, David. I'm glad to hear that there's been a positive response for you. And yeah, a lot of the effort that you've put in. So thank you for calling into Juice Box Radio. I appreciate that. So how do people acquire your book? How do people be in touch with you?
Well, in the Vancouver area, I think the best place is going to be, I haven't gotten it into Little Sisters yet, but I'm sure that Little Sisters will be carrying it.
I'm sure they'll carry it.
Who want to order it by mail? Can I give
Anything you want to give them?
Basically, I'm selling the book at sort of half price, which is $25.
Well, now let's talk about.
That's okay, but half price. So you're doing half price on your email, on your website.
And if people who are interested in inquiring about the book, yeah, can david@davidsteinberg.us is my email.
Fabulous.
And people can drop me a line.
And you have a lovely website too. So at davidsteinberg.us, you have a website as well.
So. It has both for 15 years I wrote a column on sex and gender issues called Comes Naturally, so all of those are posted there, as well as a good deal of my couples photography, and really just a little bit of the transsexual photography, because it just hasn't gotten updated yet. But
it's fabulous. I've read so much of your articles over the years. I mean, I've met you almost 5 years ago, so I've been reading your Comes Naturally articles that you were posting to your listserv, I guess, or whoever. I've been on it, so I've been reading them, and your writing is fabulous. So anyone who wants to check you out will have a good read for sure. So thanks again.
Okay, good talking with you.
And take care.
Yeah.
Enjoy your conference down there.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
So that's Juicebox for the night, and I think we have Marion from Hans Claus's Misery Hour coming up next. We haven't had you on for weeks, honey. We've been missing you. We don't know where you've gone. I've called you. I've been calling you.
Fucking cups.
Oh, geez, there's stories behind why he's been away for 3 weeks. But we're glad you're back, because Hans Claus's Misery Hour is going to be back. Well, I just haven't seen you physically for 3 weeks, or your shoes. It's been difficult. So we're going to be back.
I started with cups, please. Sorry.
Okay, well, we'll find out the juicy details after we close out of this hour. In the meantime, if you have recommendations for a show topic you'd like to hear, or questions about anything to do with sexuality or relationships, please feel free to email julia@juiceboxradio.com. And tune in to Juicebox Radio every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. You're not going to say 10 o'clock with me, honey? Oh, you always do. I miss that. You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to get into it.